Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 40 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. The Department of Health and Social Services reported that the cases confirmed as of Wednesday night were in 9 communities, including 24 in Anchorage, 6 in Fairbanks, 2 in the Northwest Arctic Borough, and 1 in North Pole. The DHSS reported that among the Anchorage cases were 4 at a Pioneer home, including 3 residents and 1 staff member. These are the first positive COVID-19 cases in elders at any of Alaska's Pioneer homes, and it's only the second occurrence of COVID-19 associated with an Alaska Pioneer home. In June, an employee at the Fairbanks Pioneer home tested positive for the virus. The DHSS says the infected patients at the Anchorage Pioneer home have been isolated and that the staff member sent home to isolate. All residents and staff are being tested and the affected areas of the facility are undergoing sanitization. The DHSS also reported 6 new non-resident COVID-19 cases, all in the Kenai Peninsula Borough or Juneau. There were no new deaths reported yesterday. However, there were 4 new hospitalizations, bringing the number of people in hospitals in Alaska for either confirmed or suspected COVID-19 infections to 42. An order of 100,000 cloth masks has been received by the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the masks are being distributed to schools, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, libraries, and nonprofit groups. Masking is a proven means of fighting transmission of COVID-19, but some municipal governments, including the Fairbanks North Star Borough, lack the authority to mandate their use. As KUAC's Robin reports, the issue was raised yesterday during an Interior Healthcare Provider and Incident Command Pandemic Response press briefing.
Several Alaska municipalities, like Anchorage, have health and social service powers. Anchorage even has its own health department to regulate pandemic rules. The cities of Fairbanks and North Pole are first-class cities, or what the law calls home rule cities, and they also have such powers. But neither of them, nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough, have instituted rules regarding business openings and face coverings. That last practice, masking, has been shown to be the most effective in preventing the spread of droplets carrying COVID-19 virus. So residents frequently ask why interior cities don't have their own masking mandates. City of Fairbanks Chief of Staff Mike Meeks fielded the question yet again yesterday and explained that although the city requires face masks for employees at City Hall, Mayor Jim Matherly doesn't want to enforce a requirement for everyone inside city limits and leaves it up to citizens.
Now, I've heard Mayor Matherly on many times state that he's very impressed with the number of businesses that require masks. Now, these businesses are making decisions based on their own assessment of the situation, and they are in the best position to enforce actions inside their own establishment.
The 3 mayors of Fairbanks North Pole and the Fairbanks North Star Borough all signed a proclamation encouraging the wearing of masks, but that's not the same as requiring it. Borough Chief of Staff Jim Williams says the question comes up regularly, especially when comparing the powers of the cities, which could pass a mandate if they wanted to, with the weaker powers of the borough, which could not.
It's an Alaska constitutional issue. The borough is formed as a second-class borough and has 3 requirements. They have to provision the school district, they have to assess all real property, and they have to provide a planning and zoning function. That's it. Anything additional, the voters have to say that's okay. We're going to stay in our lane, and we're not going to do things that we're not authorized to do.
COVID cases among borough employees closed borough services for a few days in July, and Williams says masking is required by employees working in the Juanita Helms Administrative Center and other borough facilities.
That mask wearing does pay off. Our last incident we had in the borough, when we had to close the facility down, there was indicators that where that was not being done, that's where we suffered.
Mandate or not, face coverings are a hot commodity. The Interior Alaska Incident Command for the pandemic, including Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, Tanana Chiefs Conference, and the municipalities, received a large order of cloth face masks that are being distributed in the community by the borough's emergency services office.
Those 100,000 masks were distributed out to the school district, the university, the Housing and Homeless Coalition, public health, and a few went over to Nolwine Library.
100,000 is about 1 for every person in the borough. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Alaska Airlines is requiring all passengers over 2 years old to wear face coverings without exception as of today. According to a post on the company's website, the airline requires cloth face masks or face coverings on all flights at ticket counters, gate areas, and other locations where Alaska Airlines does business. The company says both your nose and mouth must be covered, but can be removed briefly to eat or drink, adding that those who repeatedly refuse to wear a mask or face covering will be given a final warning and may be suspended from flying with Alaska Air for a period of time. The company says it will supply masks for people who forget to bring them, as supplies allow. Enrollment is down at University of Alaska campuses. During a Board of Regents meeting Wednesday, University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor Dan White, University of Alaska Anchorage Chancellor Kathy Sandine, and interim University of Alaska Southeast Chancellor Karen Carey provided updates on fall enrollment.
As a whole, UAF is down 6% overall in headcount for the fall.
UAA-wide, the headcount is down 14.4%.
Unfortunately, our overall headcount is down about 17%. Our students at UAS, however, generally enroll in August. So we really have high hopes that in the next several weeks, our students will be enrolling.
The chancellors reported that more students are opting for distance-delivered classes, but all three universities are offering some in-person classes with special protections, including added space between seats. Canada imposed a new border policy this month, which requires Alaskans transiting the country to take the most direct route and to do so within a set time limit. The new policy, like one imposed this spring, bans all non-essential travel through the country. But what qualifies as essential is left up to border officers. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin talked to a Juneau woman turned back at the Beaver Creek border crossing on the Alcan late last month.
Catherine Flett Miller and her boyfriend had plenty of time for blame and self-recrimination on their long drive back after they were denied entry to Canada.
You're like, oh, you should have said this. And but we were joking that we went through like the 5 stages of grief.
They thought everything about their trip was essential. Miller and her boyfriend work for the Alaska Ferry System and live in Juneau. They had to go to Seward for training. They decided to fly to Anchorage, buy an old truck, do their coursework and exam in Seward, and then drive back. They intended to go through 300 miles of Canada to get to Haines, where they expected to board the LeConte to ferry back to Juneau. She called the Canada Border Services hotline and was assured that Alaskans going home, that's considered essential travel. Did we mention they picked up Miller's 18-year-old sister in Valdez? She was coming to live with them because she wanted to attend the University of Alaska Southeast. They approached the border at Beaver Creek with all the documents they needed.
My boyfriend was like, you know, we're just transiting through. We're staying in Haines tonight. And the guy just interrupts him, goes, no, you're not.
The border officer would decide if they were staying in Haines that night, and he decided they were not.
It was just not up for discussion.
He took their passports and returned a few minutes later with documents that said, return to U.S. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski has heard other tales of border woes. She says she's been asked to help Alaska parents who want to drive their kids to the lower 48 for their freshman year of college.
And it is determined that it might be essential for that student to get through, but not necessarily for the traveling partner. Well, as a parent, believe me, I can relate to the anxiety and the stress that this is causing.
Murkowski says it's a tough problem to solve because Alaskans have to respect Canada's efforts to protect its citizens from the pandemic. This story has a happy ending of sorts. Miller wrote Alaska's congressional delegation, the Canada Border Services Agency, the Premier of Yukon Territory, and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. She's not sure if any of that did the trick, but a supervisor at Canada's Beaver Creek border station called her and said he would clear her to cross the border. Though Miller didn't take him up on it. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And I'm Dan Bross.